God bless the flag, we all beating our chests.
Welcome to My Skin is My Sin. And if you would like to call in to listen, the phone number is 347-855-8692. And if you want to chime in and let us know what you think and what you feel about, you know, educate about racism, institutionalized racism within the educational system, just press 1. And we'll definitely get to you and let you chime in. We got a great show for you today. And, you know, before I get into that, you guys are listening to the great Whitney Houston and The Greatest Love of All. And I like that song because it chimes in with the topic today with institutionalized racism within the educational system, because that song, when I hear it, it just rings in my ear and rings and resonates with me, because it's saying, I believe the children are our future. And we have to start believing that and also educating our kids to believe that, because nowadays in the school system, they're teaching the kids what they think they should know, and especially our black kids, they're just getting left behind. So it's important that I know we're at a point that we don't have schools that we can actually put our kids in all over America, but once our kids go to school, we have to come back and once they get home, we have to come back and deprogram them to what they have learned. Because a lot of the things that they've learned is history of what America say that black children are the history of our children. So we have to come back and deprogram them and tell them our history. So, you know, I'm definitely looking forward to getting to the bottom of things. And I want to let people know this is a NOLA D movement show is about moving your feet and talking about the issues that are going on in our neighborhoods, going on in America, going on in our households, and what are the solutions for us to come together and build as black people. And I always say this for black people, you know, and I always get people say, well, what about, you know, white people and what about what they think? Hey, I don't have a problem with that. They can think what they want to think, but the NOLA D movement and the agenda of the NOLA D movement show is about the black family, the black community, and just black people building. Because we try integration, we try coming together with everybody to make it work, but it has not worked thus far. So for me, I think we have to get back to the root of things and getting back to black people coming together and doing what we need to do, what's best for our community. So, and the reason why I say this is because I grew up in a small town in Florida, and I think about the history of what I was taught in school. I taught Harriet Tubman, she freed the slaves, you know, and that was a little snippet. Or they definitely didn't talk about Malcolm X, because, you know, down in the South, they want you to turn the other cheek. But, you know, they glorified Martin Luther King because he was on so much of peace. They was beating him. They was killing people around him. But, you know, he was turning the other cheek. And that's why I think they glorified Martin Luther King so much, and they made a day after him because he was a humble nigger. You know, he didn't fight them like that. But I think at the end, before he died, he started waking up because he said he felt like he led his people into a burning fiery furnace. So I think Martin Luther King as well, before his death, was starting to wake up and realize integration wasn't the best for us. But to go back to what I was saying, I grew up in a small town and not understanding what educational, you know, racism within the educational system, because we were not taught our history. We were taught what happened in the North and the South, but just like a surface of what was going on, not understanding why North and South fought, and not understanding it wasn't about North and South fighting, you know, on some, they didn't like each other. It was about economical reasons, because the South didn't want to stop slavery because that would, that means that there would be no workers in the field, no one to take care of their kids. And the North wanted to, the South to get rid of slavery so they can have the black people coming up north to work in the factories and things of like that. So I wasn't taught that, and I just can't remember. I think I was like 15 or 16, and I'm riding around with these honkies that at the time I thought were my friends. I'm riding around in a truck with a Confederate flag in the back, and not knowing, nobody told me, and I don't know if my family was educated enough to tell me, but nobody told me, or I wasn't old, I wasn't wise enough to listen, that I'm riding around with some white people with a Confederate flag, and they're talking about his heritage, and I had no idea what that meant, and I had no idea that that flag, the Confederate flag, reared its ugly head every time racism was, the racism came into play. Never, the Confederate flag never comes out until it's getting on some political level of racism. So it's just one of those things that I look back on like, wow, not just not knowing a lot about the history of this country. And then they never talked about African history. They never talked about what we were doing before slavery. They never talked about all the inventions that we came up with before slavery, or we never got the credit for. So that's some of the things that I think is happening in the black community and our black children. They don't understand self. They're not aware of the greatness within us. Only thing they're taught is, well, go be a basketball player, go be a football player, go do something in sports, because that's what this country sees us as, greatness. That's what this country sees greatness in us, just in sports, in which we are elite because it's in our DNA. But that in itself is another part of racism. Because you're getting these kids that are going into college and then going into the NFL, NBA, or whatever it is, and they can't balance their checkbooks, and they go broke in 5 years because no one gave a crap and taught them anything, and half of their parents didn't know. So we're going to have a guest coming in soon. You know, whenever she gets on the line and press one, we're going to have her to come in, you know, and she's going to let us know. She's an educator from North Carolina, we want to bring Miss Delana Caudill in, that she's an educator from North Carolina, and want to give her perception on what she thinks is going on in the schools, and also not just tell us what's going on, but to also give us some ideas to what is going on. So I know she's on the line, so whenever she presses one, we're going to definitely get her back in here. I think we get a lot of people get confused when they call in to press one to chime in. And so whenever she's ready to press one, we'll definitely have her back on the line and everything. But like I say, I mean, we definitely have to get more involved in what our children are doing. We definitely got to get more involved and what is going on in the education system with our children, because we don't really know exactly what is being taught in our taught to our children unless we're there. So let's bring in Ms. Donna Cottle. Ms. Donna, are you on the air?
I am. Hello, how are you, Empress Nola?
I am well, yourself.
I am doing fine. I'm listening to your show, and I wanted to chime in on the education part of racism give you some insight, give your listeners some insight on some of the things that may be going on. You were talking about educating our kids and them not getting the information in school that we should be getting. And as black families, we need to teach our children their history because it's not being taught. And I agree with everything you had mentioned earlier about institutionalized racism. in the Washington Post on April of 2015, they had said black families had started teaching homeschooling their kids because of the racism in schools. And mostly it was white people that were educating their kids at home. But now there's a substantial amount of blacks that are doing it because we see the racism and what they're not getting. Once they do come home, we have to, I guess, reprogram them of our education because it's not being taught. And I just wanted to mention that. Hello?
Yes,
I'm
here.
Are you
here?
Okay. Okay,
yes,
I'm getting a lot
of
beat.
Yeah, I'm writing notes.
Yeah. So that's basically what I was wanting to mention with you, your viewers, and
I got a question for you. Down in
mm-hmm.
Charlotte, what is the struggle with the parents or just within the education system down south? Because I'm up here in the north. And, I mean,
mm-hmm.
like I say, I grew up in the South, but I left when I was 18 and, you know, moved on. But what is the struggle within the educational system to be able, so that black people and, you know, and parents and students to bridge that gap with teachers? Like, what is something the parents can do to say, like, hey, you know, this is old curriculum. We need our kids to understand something beyond slavery. How
mm-hmm.
can we address that? Because at the end of the day, the system that we in is just it's so much racism and, you know, and it's a catch-22 that parents cannot. Every parent can't homeschool their kid because they have to work or they even have to work multiple jobs. What is it that, how can parents tackle the school system, the school board, to implementing things that project black students?
Right. Well, my vision for that is what I see is for different people or a team of people to go into these schools and educate our black kids, maybe once a day, once a week, and educate in black history. Now, I know on one of your shows you were talking about reparations, and reparations can come in a lot of forms. Right now I'm trying to wait for a government grant in order to see this education that I have a vision for. And I would like for other people to do the same. You know, there's monies out there that you can get for the history, the re-education of black history, but you have to ask for it. And, you know, I just would like to see other blacks do the same around the country. I'm starting in this part of the country, which is North Carolina, and next month I have a meeting that down in the Marshfield area of where I will be enlightening a group of young black youth about black history, and which is very exciting to me. It will be myself and my daughter. We have a meeting to do down in that area. So this is what I could tell the parents that cannot educate their kids is to try and get them involved with someone in the community who is out there that is pushing the youth. And hello? Are you there, Mel?
Yes, I agree.
Okay.
I'm here. I'm listening.
Get them involved with community activities, their youth, and just get everybody just work on getting the Black history out that way. I know it's very complicated to homeschool your kids at home for some families, but more are doing it now. For those that can't, that's just what I foresee for them to do.
Okay.
I don't know. What would be your take on it?
What I would do, I mean, well, this is what is going on here in New York. What has happened is that it's a group of parents. They're getting together after school, and some are just homeschooling their kids collectively. Like parents that don't have a job right now, they're taking over to homeschool different kids. And also the parents that do work, they're coming in, and on the weekends they're starting the programs to teach, and teach the African history and teach economics, because that's one of the major things that we need to learn. I mean, and don't get it twisted that, yes, I think from kindergarten to fifth grade or sixth grade, those informative years, they need to learn certain things. They need to learn about the earth. They need to learn global things. But after that point, because that's what they do in China. After a certain grade, there is no more repetitively learning A squared plus B squared. You know, those things is not for our kids. Because once, if you're going to school to be an engineer, a doctor, or a lawyer, something like that, that's different to going through these extensive amount of schools. But after a certain age, our kids need to know, our students and our children. I hate saying kids because kids are baby goats and stuff. But our children need to learn economics, because that is the way that we will be able to thrive here in America. But like I say, this is what is going on here in New York. It's the ways that parents are collectively coming together, especially on the weekends, and using different venues to teach certain things for the children that they're not learning in school. Because, you know, this racist system that, you know, your kids have to go to school because it'll be all these things of truancy, and, you know, and it's all because of government money, and the government continue to make money. And then, you know, so they have to go to school until we figure out a way to just say, everybody one day wake up in the morning and say, our kids are not going back to school, and then we're going to just teach our own. That's one of the reasons how they're going to – that's the only way I can see it ever just, like, changing in a drastic way. But, you know, and it's not just that, Ms. Dunn. It's also the zoning that our kids are getting so much poor education, because, once again, within the institutionalized racism within this country, they are starting – these political figures – or buying out folks to push the zoning different ways. So that means that certain kids will continue to be pushed back into a poor neighborhood that now they're not allowed to go to another school. And then you got to go through these lengths to get them chartered to somewhere else. So the best thing that's going on in New York, and I'm definitely being a part of that, and I'm working with some groups that are getting off the ground, is during the weekends, going to different organizations or different, just a little space. It don't have to be something elaborate. It could be somebody at home or a barbershop or actually church, and tell the church to get involved. That's the least they could do. They're taking billions of dollars out of the neighborhood. At least they could do is open up a space so that we can come in and teach economics to our kids, teach our kids how to fill out a resume. You know, I'm not big on going to work for somebody else, but we know we have to work. But these are the things we need. We don't need another barbershop. We need another accountant. We don't need another hair salon or all these different things that are put in paper. Our kids need economics. They need to be taught economics, and they are not teaching that in the schools. And then another thing is that our children need to be focused on building with Black children, because We are, our children are forced to have to integrate and learn this hunky mess that they ain't never going to use unless they conform into that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So that's my take. We need to start building alliances to start educating our kids. And it don't have to be something big. Like, people are not to the level of maybe you're at or other organizations are at to be able to fill out grants right now. You could just start small, just getting three or four parents and getting their kids together this weekend and say, hey, we're going to teach something outside of slavery today. Let's talk about what is going on in Africa, because they don't know. But now we learn everything that's going on in the European culture. We learn everything that's going on in France and what's going on in Great Britain and all these things. But only thing you hear about Africa or Haiti is they show some commercial or some poor thing that's going on and not talking about the richness. Because when you know where you come from and you know that you come from something rich and powerful, that makes you sit your chin up high. It gives you a it gives you a different type of thing. It's like calling kings and queens and princes and princes. Not everybody from Africa was kings and queens, but I tell you one thing. When I walk down the street and I tell a young black male that's 17 and I say, "How you doing, king?" You should see how he asserts himself and how he looks like, "Wow, you think I'm a king?" You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's cool. That's cool. I'm in agreement. Go ahead. I'm listening.
No. I want to hear what you got to say.
Well, I'm in agreement to everything that you had mentioned. Economics, we do need to learn our economics so we can do more than the barbershops and, you know, the salons and stuff. We need banks and, land, things of this sort. And the only way we can do it is to be taught economics. But that goes back to re-educating. And just like you mentioned, to feel good about yourself and know where you come from, this is a part of them even getting to that point of learning to know that you're not from slaves. You know, you're from the richness of Africa, and that will build their self-esteem up to want to learn and feel like, you know, that they're capable, just as capable or even more of any race once they have that build-up. And that's learning their history of what they are. So, and like I said, that's what I'm pushing, is for them learning their own history so they can get to that place that we want them to be in.
Exactly. And the parents have to get involved as well. The parents definitely have to get involved. They have to be involved in their children's education, and they have to understand. They have to go to the schools and start sitting in those PTO meetings and say, "Hey, listen, we're not happy with this." They have to start. You know, we protest for all these different things, which is warranted, but we need to start getting out here protesting about our education for our children. We can't continue to be latchy-daisy about it. Like, we need to get out and say, "Hey, listen, you telling me about Napoleon. You talking about what the Bushes did. You talking about what happened in Europe in 1613. You're talking about what happened in Europe in 1010. But you're not talking about what happened to the African people before slavery. You're not talking about what's happening in Haiti globally, what's happening in the black people. What is all the great things that people are doing in Great Britain or in London, or, you know, same difference, but you know what I'm saying? Like, none of that is being taught in school.
Yeah. Like, and then you've got... Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
And then you've got down in Texas the controversy of where the textbooks were written as slaves being indentured servants and not slave, which is really propaganda for our kids. And that was a controversy about 6 months ago or more?
Yes. Yes, exactly.
I don't know if you're familiar with that, but yeah, there was controversy about the new textbooks that were okayed by the Board of Education down in Texas. So that right there speaks volumes about what they're teaching our kids, you know, which is lies.
No, you're exactly right. And they're just trying to erase. They're trying to erase
exactly
slavery. They don't want to. They want to bring up. They want to erase that type of slavery to try to diminish what type of institutionalized racism and slavery we're in now. Because if they erase that slavery, then that will have that'll put us in a position like, no, that what's happening here is normal, but you have to have, it is imperative that we have what happened in the past through slavery, that it builds you up to exactly what's happening now to today in 2016. Because without slavery, it's kind of like going into a coma for 10 years and then you come out. You'll be in the state of mind of what's going on now, so what happened 10 years before will not even make sense to you to even come into this time. That's why they're trying to get rid of slavery, because they want to systematically keep our kids like, nah, that was back then. That's not a big deal. We're talking about now. Things have changed. No, it hasn't. What happened back then is just now it's got a cherry on top, but I don't care what you do. A pile of shit is a pile of shit. I don't care if you do put whipped cream on it and cherry on the top.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that's just how it is. And, you know, I really commend, honestly, I really do commend that you haven't gave up the fight and you're out there still, you know, seeing that, you know, it's no other way and you still have hope in the black community, the black people as a nation to want to, you know, push for those grants and things like that. And it's hard sometimes going out there for those grants. And you know, I think people need to really get involved with these grants now, because you never a friend of mine told me out in Baltimore that they're trying to come down on these grants and stuff, because she was trying to get a grant to educate, you know, kids about police brutality and, you know, all these different things that our kids should know about and what's going on, but they're trying to stop certain grants so that if it's anything that's about the government or against the government, they won't provide those grants anymore.
Yes, and I think that's my dilemma right now. I think that's my, because I'm already out there, you know, my grant has been written, it's out there. It just has not got back to me yet, and I think that's my dilemma. That they don't want to fund it, but I have not heard anything on it yet. So I'm still in the process of waiting.
Yes. No, mm-hmm. I can understand that. I definitely can understand that, and I tell you, I just...
But I'm just, still moving. I'm moving on. I'm not just waiting for those funds, you know. I try to do a little something on Facebook, and like I said, I have... a gathering down in Marshville next month. So, you know, I'm still trying to do what I can do, but, you know, funds do get move you, you know. So that's basically where I am. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I tell you what. Oh, well, I tell you, if you want to, let me give the number out here again. It's 347-855-8692. And if you would like to chime in and say something and give your input on what you're doing in the neighborhood and also in your neighborhoods, and how do you feel about institutional racism within the educational system, call the number 347-855-8692 and press 1 to chime in. And, you know, if you have any questions for Ms. Donna, we would love to hear what you got to say. And, you know, and hopefully, you know, she can give you some more insight, because we don't want to keep on too long, you know, because, you know, everybody has things to do and things of that nature. And but I tell you, I'm definitely thankful that you were able to give your insight, and especially Miss Donna being from down, being down south. And I know it's a struggle in those small rural towns, because I know how it was when I was in those rural towns. So
yeah,
I know it can feel hopeless at times, and especially when you got other black parents, they're caught up in the matrix of it all.
Yes, and that's a part of my dilemma too. But like I said, I'm moving on. You know, I'm doing whatever I can do, and you know, I'm just hoping to bring more with me.
Yeah. Do you have any like groups out there that's building in that particular in what you're doing? Do you have any websites or links, anything there that people wanted to get involved? You know,
I don't, not as of yet. I don't. Like I said, I put things on Facebook, and right now that's the only media that I have right now, social media that I have right now is Facebook. And there's lots of people that are educating and doing that on Facebook, and I'm one of them. But I will be building a website where you could go to that website, and it would be all truth. It won't be any propaganda, and it will be Black history. And you,
I know
could, you could. I'm hoping that this website would. Institutions would go to this website and get, you know, whatever information that they need, different schools to do that as well. But anyone would be able to go to this website and get any information about Black history, and it would be the truth. They don't have to research it, because it's all going to be truth. And this is what is going to be up and coming for me and my team.
Let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think parents, Black parents, why do you think they're not involved? Like, why do you think, like, when it comes to educating their children, do you think it's, you know, because I don't know if it's a thing that they just push them off to school and they don't have to worry about it, and that's just how it is, you know, they don't, or they're not educated enough. Black parents are not as much involved in their children as white parents are?
Mm-hmm. I think that there's a lot more to it than just the parents not wanting to be. A lot of it, I think, has to do with what Black parents are going through or have been going through because of the system. And, I mean, if you're hungry and can't get what you need to feed your kids, that's the first thing that's on your mind. Education is not right at the top right now. It's like, how am I going to feed my kids? You know, and there's other things that are more important I lost my train of thought. My husband's talking. But
it's okay.
I lost my train of thought right there.
No, you were saying it wasn't just the fact that they don't care, but it was like parents have so much going on because of the institutional racism within there that kids need to eat and things of that nature.
Yes, and they have so much going on within themselves that education is just on the back burner for them. And I'm talking about parents that are on drugs. That's one of them. You know, drugs have been placed in our neighborhoods, you know, to cause a reaction, a negative reaction. And, you know, now you see that the food stamps are being cut. And parents, you know, some parents are just overwhelmed with the lack of help that they can get, and they're busy trying to work jobs that don't pay anything, and when they come home, they're just tired, and it's just so much that is against the black family. Education is just not on the top of the list, and that's what I think. That's only my opinion.
No, I agree with you. I didn't even see it that way. You know, I knew, you know, it's a rush with everything going on in life and just, you know, working three jobs, underpaid and things of that nature, you know. And I guess you have to look at it on an individual basis, because there are parents out there that are doing it and working three jobs and they're still making sure that their kids are getting what they need and these things, you know, but at the same time, you know, everybody can't handle the pressure. That's why I always say certain things is just not for the faint of heart. And just like you said yourself, you said, regardless of whatever barriers may be put before you to continue to try to get those grants, regardless of whatever parents that are not supporting or they don't see, you still push them forward. And some people an obstacle get in front of them and they buckle and they can't go forward and they just give up. So I definitely can respect what you're saying, and I definitely know it holds some truth to it, because you know you've lived a little bit to know as well, you know. So I definitely take your wisdom of what you're saying as well. So, but I guess we got to continue to build on this and see, you know, and, you know, kind of come back to the table and see what we have in maybe a few months and see where you're at. And definitely on my end with the NOLA D movement, continue to reach out to me and let me know what you think we should do, and let us know how we can help you to continue to build on your endeavors and what is going on in North Carolina, because we have to build allies to help one another. It can't be a North Carolina thing or a Brooklyn thing or a Manhattan thing or a Florida thing. It should be a black thing.
Right. And you were mentioning that the parents, there's parents that are just not strong enough to accept this type of drama that's going on, and that's where we as a community have to come in. You know, there are going to be weaker people. That's just normal. There's going to be people that don't want to do anything. There's going to be people that want to but just can't, all different kinds of people. But that's where the community parents, that's where the community come in and help these parents that don't have the strive to do that. You know, that's where community come in, and we must even take their kids and move them forward, you know, as a community. And once we do that, we'll be on the right road as far as getting all of the kids involved, even though the parents are not there yet.
Yeah, I agree. 100%, and, you know, and I also think they don't really have, a lot of parents just don't know. Like right now, we got callers and stuff like that, and they're not calling in. But I just don't think they know. I really honestly believe that, like, they really just don't know what to say, what to do. And not just that, I also think that it's not enough. That you're a very conscious person, and you know, me and you share a lot of the same thoughts and beliefs and things of that nature. And when you don't have people that are thinking like you or even involved in the same things, you feel like you're alone and you don't want to be the first person to step out. You kind of systematically keep going through the same thing. And I think we got to get more vocal and get more collectively together and say, hey, I know I'm a teacher and I work at this school, but dadgummit, this ain't right. We just what we're teaching these are not just teaching, but the funding and the lack of books. You know, we got to come together.
Yeah, speaking out, that's an issue. Speaking out, standing out amongst the group and speaking out. Yes. Mhm.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I agree 100% with you about this, and we just got. Yeah, and then sometimes they're not educating themselves. So, you know, I was thinking about it, you know. Can you imagine the math that is being taught in fourth grade and third grade and a parent that maybe didn't even make it past 10th grade or even graduated from high school? They could have graduated from high school, but what they're learning in fourth grade is totally different from what I was learning in fourth grade.
Oh, yes. Yes.
So they kind of drop out. I think they also kind of drop out of the scene, like, you know, I'll just let the teachers teach them whatever. And then, you know, after about fifth or sixth grade, your kids got to be learning how to write a check, to balance a checkbook.
Mm-hmm.
They got to understand what is a credit card. They need to be understanding what is credit. By the time they're in sixth grade, those fundamental things need to be brought to the table.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know? Because I remember when I was in eighth grade, you know, we didn't start learning about the SATs and all that stuff and my black friends until it was almost 11th grade. The white friends that I had back then, their parents were teaching 7th and 8th grade about SATs and all these things like that. And it wasn't like it wasn't there to do. It was just the fact that parents were involved to do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or just establishing their credit. Like, what establishing, that's what we need to understand, establishing credit so that we'll be able to go out here and do things. I'm telling you, when I was in eighth grade, I had white friends that their parents was building their credit. Eighth grade, building their credit for them. So by the time they graduated in high school, they were sitting on 750 credit scores.
Wow.
And we're...
Okay.
And we're going into the 12th grade, just starting to fill out college applications. And we by that time you behind the time, right? By that time, we got a caller that wants to chime in here, and it's 1162. You on the air? 1162. You got the first one. Are you there? Okay, I guess they. You know, I guess they decided they just wanted to listen again. You know, it's pressure sometimes. But it's all good. But if you want to chime in 1162, just press one, and we would love to hear what you got to say. But yeah, so we definitely got to start back to getting to economics. And I think that's a big thing for us, and also learning our history, because if we don't learn our history, Ms. Donna, we lost. We lost if we don't learn our history.
We're lost, and again, I think knowing where you come from and what literally where you come from and what you are, you know, and what you can be, those are the building blocks to self. And anytime you know self, that gives you the courage and the energy to know more. And when they created slavery, that's the first thing they done was to strip us of self. If they stripped us of self, then we had nothing. And that's how slavery, you know, slavery stripped us of everything. And that's how we got caught up in this matrix, was because they stripped us. But if we learn our history again and they know that we are powerful, that's the building block of economics, finances, everything.
You're exactly right. Mm-hmm. No, I mean, what you're saying is not opinion. Those are stone cold facts. You know, what you're saying is stone cold facts. It ain't, there's no way around it, and it's no way we can, you know, even debate that. You know, but that's just history, and those are facts. So, well, I tell you, you know, we definitely enjoyed you coming on the show. I don't want to keep you too long.
Well, I'm
giving
you
your insight. Yes, Ms. Dunn. I would like you to let the people know where they can find you on Facebook to follow up with all the great things that you're doing down in North Carolina.
Facebook me, Donna Alexander Caudill, I'll come up.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. And, you know, I know you're on your vacation right now, so, you know, you can continue to enjoy your vacation, and maybe we can link in a few days before you get from down this way.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Empress. We'll talk later.
All right. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yes, that was Ms. Donna, you know, giving us that work real quick and letting us know how she feels and, you know, and giving us some strong facts on what is going on in North Carolina and what she's building on out there. And we thank her for calling in and being a guest on the NOLA D Movement Show. And I tell you, I'm really happy that she called in, because she did also gave me some insight on things that I can take back to the community, and so that I can share with other people what she has going on, and maybe we can definitely get some people in contact with her to figure out we can get these grants and push forward with that. Well, I also want to let you guys know what's another group that's going on out here in New York. I got to send a shout out to Doggy Diamonds, to those kings out there. They have an organization that they're working with that they started, and it's called Party, and it's parents actively reclaiming their youth. So you can look up Doggy Diamonds. You know, they've definitely been a prominent figures here in the community, you know, and getting information out to the people and stuff, and you definitely can find them on Facebook. They have websites, so just, you know, Google, Instagram, Facebook, Doggy Diamonds. I also can't leave the show without talking about our company, the Renaissance Hair Company. We sell all types of human hair extensions, you know, also including tape, fusion clips, and weft hair. And the reason why we got involved in this industry, because it is so much money taken out of our community, the black community, by servicing our people with this hair. So we decided to get a part of this so that we'll be able to, you know, generate revenue to support these different movements, and also to be able to give back to the community. So you definitely can find us on Facebook, the Renaissance Hair Co., and you can find us on Instagram at the underscore Renaissance underscore Hair Co. And you can find us at Twitter at Get Our Hair. You know, and we're and if you're in New York and you want to come check us out, come on down to Brooklyn to 750 Notion Avenue between Park Place and Sterling. And you also can give us a call at 917-473-1041. So, you know, I definitely could not leave without letting you guys know about the Renaissance Hair Company. You know, that is our vehicle to be able to help service our neighborhoods, and also our vehicle to, you know, bring some type of revenue to support different movements, and also, you know, the movement of us getting free. Well, we're going to wrap it up here. You know, we thank everybody for calling. You know, if you want to hear the replay of this, just log into myskinismysin.com on the Blog Talk Radio, and we'll definitely get back with you. I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank again Ms. Donna for calling in. And join us next Wednesday as we continue the five-part series of institutionalized racism, and we're going to be talking about institutional racism within the school-to-pipeline prison. So we'll definitely look forward to bringing that to light. And like I always say, you know, stay black, act black, talk black, because that's all we got. That's all we got is each other. I love you guys, and I look forward to seeing you guys. Listen.
Take away.
thank you guys for listening. We're wrapping it up for tonight, you know, and we once again want to thank Miss Donna for coming on the show and giving her input on, you know, what she thought about institutionalized racism. We wish you would have more callers to call in and chime in to give her a little bit more so that she can answer some questions. But, you know, this is the struggle of our people, you know, not, you know, wanting to be involved in the importance of things of our children. But we're going to continue to build on that, and we're going to continue to come together, and we're not going to be discouraged, you know, and we're going to continue to break barriers, because our children are our futures, as the great Whitney Houston has said. So once again, I thank you guys for calling in and listening. And I also want to also let you guys know next Wednesday, again, we will be continuing the five-part series of institutionalized racism within this system. And we will be talking about prison to pipeline and how they are conditioning our kids from school for prison. So join us next Wednesday. So thank you, and like I say, continue to be black, act black, talk black, because that's all we got, and we only got each other. I love you all, and thank you again, and I appreciate you guys taking time out to call in and be a part of the NOLA D movement. Thank you, and have a great night.